I'm not gonna raise my voice. Yes!
I'm really good at basketball for a puppet.
What just happened?
I drink your milkshake.
What's up with those shorts? It's either super good or super bad.
Unreasonable Doubt, a podcast about West Virginia University basketball, starts now.
Hello! From the Dire Prime Studio in Nitro, West Virginia, this is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt. Episode 25, Texas Christian University. Remember that last game versus Baylor? Where everybody was making the shots? Not so much today. And that's okay. It was a win. West Virginia wins by 8 on the Frog Court last week. 70-something to 60-something. Tonight, West Virginia wins by 9 in Morgantown. 70-something to 60-something. Now, a little bit different this time. TCU shot 14% in the first half. And you knew that wasn't going to happen in the second half, and it didn't. West Virginia almost gave up a 50-burger in the second half, and they won. Shot Robot, Deuce, Taz, they shot a combined 7 for 30 from the field, and the Mountaineers won. West Virginia as a team shot 34% for the game. 34% for the game, and they won. So it's March, and West Virginia swept the bottom three teams in the conference. And that's the sign of a team that's improved from last year. West Virginia lost to Kansas State at Kansas State. We remember that. They swept Kansas State, two tough games against Iowa State, swept Iowa State. So West Virginia won. How did they win? First of all, TCU, clearly the eighth best team in the conference. West Virginia is better than TCU. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you win the game, but that is an advantage. When it comes down to it, how did West Virginia beat TCU? Because they're better than TCU. Not bragging, just saying that's true. But specifically for the game, West Virginia had another great game at the free throw line. They only missed 4 again. Tonight they went 26 for 30. Derek Culver, second half especially, killing it at the free throw line. He was 7 for 9 from the free throw line in this game. Last year, and I've talked about this on the podcast in the offseason, last February 2020, Derek Culver shot 32% from the free throw line for the month. 3 out of 10 went in on average for the month of February. This February, he didn't set the world on fire, but he improved. He shot 57% this year. So again, not great, but almost 6 out of 10. Is about double, making about 3 out of 10, okay? So improved. And March, very small sample size. We're talking 2 games this year versus March for last year. But in 2 games last year, Derek Culver from the free throw line, 1 for 8. In the Baylor game and the TCU game this season, Derek Culver has shot 16 for 19. So that's a jump of from 13% to 84%. And that's only 2 games, but that is a great sign as we get into elimination basketball. They're going to send Derek Culver to the line, and if he can make free throws, that gives West Virginia a better chance of winning games instead of losing games. You know, just a Just a casual hot take there. How else did West Virginia get the win tonight? They got 18 offensive rebounds, which is the most they've had since Oscar left. 18 offensive rebounds. That's a number that you would look at a box score when Oscar was here. And that's still high end, even when Oscar was here. And they're doing this with Culver, with Gabe, and with Jalen Bridges. And he's the man of the night tonight. The MVP of this game, Jalen Bridges. Talked about him playing hot potato with the ball in the Baylor game. No hot potato in this game. Jalen Bridges, West Virginia native. Have you heard? Do you know he's from Fairmont, West Virginia? I've heard that. He was the MVP of this game. And just to put this in perspective, he redshirted last season. He's a redshirt freshman this season. And because of pandemic and nobody losing eligibility this season, in theory, he's going to be a freshman next season. So that's mind-boggling. It's like he'll be next season will be his third season in the program, and he'll be a freshman. And he's doing things like he did tonight. He started the season coming off the bench. In his first 10 games, just to put in perspective the improvement of Jalen Bridges, some of that because he was kind of pushed into the starting lineup, was getting more minutes. But listen, his first 10 games coming off the bench, he was 1 of 11 from 3. Shot 11, made 1. He had 11 rebounds in his first 10 games this season. And those are his first 10 games of his collegiate career. So it's not out of the ordinary for a freshman to start slow because he's a freshman. But since then, well, let's just talk about tonight. So 1 for 11, 11 rebounds in his first 10 games. In one game tonight against TCU, Jalen Bridges, 4 of 6 from 3, 12 rebounds. I would consider that improvement. And so since Jalen Bridges was put in the starting lineup after that Northeastern game, he's 23 of 43 from 3. So he's shooting over 50% after that slow start. Again, he's a freshman. And his spot, I'm noticing, and you're probably noticing, he has a spot where he's making threes, and it's on the left side. And it's an interesting spot. Like, you think in the NBA, Steph Curry, his spot is the is the wing three, right? People specialize in the NBA and in college in corner threes. And Jalen Bridges, his spot is not technically the corner. He's not all the way over, but he's not on the wing. But that spot on the left side, that's his spot. And he shot 6 3-pointers. One was a corner three. It was 0 for 1. One was a wing three from the right side. He missed that one. But in his spot, perfect tonight. 4 for 4. And on top of the offensive production, he's rebounding on both sides of the ball at 6'7". He's a freshman. And this is not Oscar Tshiebwe freshman. Like, when you look at Jalen Bridges, you don't think that guy is going to get tons of offensive rebounds. But as a freshman, he's getting in there. He's kind of sneaky. He's swooping in. He's like a bird. He's like a majestic. He's like a hawk swooping in, getting rebounds. Some of that is athleticism. Some of that is great timing to be able to tap it out or actually come down with it. He shot a lot of free throws in the second half, and a lot of that was through his activity around rebounds. And so, you know, as the fan base, Oscar leaves, yes, West Virginia plays different, but also, how are we going to make up that offensive rebounding production? And it hasn't been just Jalen Bridges, but Jalen Bridges, especially in the last few games, he's not replacing Oscar's numbers, but it's pretty darn close. And so when him, and it's only going to get better. Again, freshman. So that is only going to improve, I think, as Jalen Bridges gets stronger and he gets more confident. Again, it's a limited number of games that he's played collegiate basketball. And he's getting double-doubles. It's amazing. And how he's shooting the ball. And so with him and Emmett Matthews had a good night tonight, when both of them are getting buckets, you can have a situation where your guards aren't shooting well. But if those two guys are contributing offensively and getting rebounds, West Virginia can still win a basketball game. And then if the guards are hitting, and we've seen them hit shots, we saw it last game, all those guys hit shots, and Bridges and Matthews are hitting shots as well, that's peak West Virginia offense. And that is a high ceiling for this team. So this win gives West Virginia 11 wins in the Big 12 Conference, puts them in a position for the season finale to win and be a 2 seed in the Big 12 tournament and finish second in the conference behind one-loss Baylor. And if you lose that game, then you're not going to be the 2 seed. So think about how this wild stretch, because pandemic, 4 games in 8 days. I'm just throwing this out here. Should West Virginia lay an egg in Kansas City and get some rest? Should Huggins come out and say, these are my five, and that five is Jay Moore, Kedrian, Spencer, Taj, and Sinny, and just flat out say, you know what? Our guys need some rest. We're not healthy, is what I'm saying. And yes, some of this game you knew was going to be a letdown from the Baylor game, right? As great as Taz was and the shots that he was making against Baylor, he was going to come back down to earth a little bit after a performance like that. But the surprise, Jordan McCabe out with a back issue. So wasn't expecting that. He did not play. Deuce, we know, is not healthy. He got his points in the second half, did not score in the first. Shot is not going in. He's got a toe issue that we know of. He's got a lower body injury that we don't know specifics on. Taz, talked about Taz. He tried to dunk the soul out of someone. One of these times, one of our guys is gonna dunk the soul out of someone. Taz tried, was unsuccessful, but when he was walking that off, he was walking like he still was dealing with a groin injury. It was not normal. That is speculation, but that's what it looked like. So 3 of your guards and Cottrell out for the season were unhealthy. And having 4 games in 8 days, yes, they were all at home, but that's a lot of games for a team that, you know, one would argue maybe need some time off to get ready for the NCAA tournament. Will Huggins do that? You know, and I know he 100% will not do that. It's not in his DNA. I don't think if it was up to the players, they would say, you know what, let's take a flyer. Let's just go to Kansas City and hang out. Especially not getting to play the Big 12 tournament last year. They're not going to do that. What I'm telling you is, I'm not going to, and I'll stick to this, I will not be upset if West Virginia loses their first game in the Big 12 tournament. I'm not rooting for that. I'm always rooting for them to win. I'm not going to be sad. Okay. If West Virginia plays Oklahoma in the first game, that is going to make me upset to lose three times to Oklahoma, especially with Oklahoma losing to everybody now, losing to Kansas State, losing to Texas, losing to whoever except for West Virginia. That I would be bummed out about that, even though it's a bad matchup, taking three L's to one team in a season. That I don't like that. I would be upset. Outside of Oklahoma, I will be upset. But a win's a win. That we're going to end the regular season, and West Virginia will not have back-to-back losses in the regular season. And it's been a long time since they've done that. And that's a testament of good team to not have a two-game losing streak. Yes, this is a shorter season. It's still awesome. Random thoughts coming up.
Prime is the lead sponsor of Unreasonable Doubt. Don't really usually get into the stock market, but have you took a look at embroidery stocks? I mean, they're just going through the roof. And I know what you're asking, like, hey Josh, how do I invest in embroidery? How can I cash in on this embroidery bull market? Call the folks at Dyer Prime. They're big on embroidery. They can help you with the design, embroider it on a mask, on a t-shirt, on a sweatshirt, on a hat. Get in. I think the sky's the limit for embroidery. And you can invest in embroidery by contacting Dyer Prime Creative Group, 304-767-4445. Find them on Facebook or Instagram at Dyer Prime.
Random thoughts for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt, Bob Huggins, especially if you stuck with the ESPN Plus programming and got the high-priced graphics of Bob Huggins in his 899 convertible. Bob Huggins has 899 wins. So by my math, one more win, and he has 900 wins. That's a lot of wins. And maybe you know this, maybe you don't. Very few college coaches in the history of college basketball at any level have won 900 basketball games. It's a small club. And a lot of those guys that are over 900 wins are not at the Division I level. And so to give you the hierarchy at the Division I level, Coach K is a party of one. And he's in the ultra rare, ultra exclusive 1100 club. My man Coach K, and it's not his best season this season. And people love to jump on Duke. And yeah, he tried to say, hey, can we postpone the season? And a lot of people thought it's because his team isn't very good this year. They may not make the NCAA tournament. Odds are they're going to make it because of this guy. 1,100 wins. I'm not a big fan of Coach K. It doesn't matter. He's hanging solo at the Division I level at the 1,100 club. All right? To put that in perspective, no Division I guys doing it now or who have ever done it are in the 1,000 win club. So no guys in the 1,000 club. So The 900 Club, not as exclusive as the Party of One. But again, in the history of Division I college basketball, it's pretty darn exclusive. And here's the list. It's Jim Boeheim. And that guy has been in the 900 Club, and he's pretty close. I think next season he's going to be in the one of the 1,000 Club. So Jimmy Boeheim, another Jim Calhoun. Remember that guy, coach at UConn? Next guy, Bob Knight. That Bob Knight. And it's Roy Williams. And that's the list. That's the 900 Club of Division I coaches. Bob Huggins, again, based on that awesome graphic from ESPN, will be joining those guys soon. When you hear that list of the 900 Club, and let's say it was an actual club and they were having a club dinner and could invite guests, would you want to go to... Would you want to go to a 900 Club dinner? Yeah, who's going to be at the 900 Club dinner? Boeheim, Calhoun, Bob Knight, and Roy Williams. When Bob Huggins is in the club and you ask me, I want to go there because Huggins is there. I think Huggins would be a good hang. I would enjoy being at a dinner with Bob Huggins, I would think. But with or without him, that 900 Club dinner is going to go one of two ways. It's either going to be the loudest dinner table, guys yelling over each other, a lot of ego at the 900 Club, everybody trying to one-up each other, but definitely loud and no quiet spots, or... Because, you know, you hear that list, and when I think of that list, I definitely think the word surly comes to mind. And it's either the loudest dinner table, or it's a dinner where it's like you mostly hear the silverware. Like if you've seen that SNL sketch where Will Ferrell screams he drives a Dodge Stratus, and then the silence in between is the is forks and knives hitting plates, it may be that way. And so I don't know about what it's going to sound like. What I will guess with confidence is that the other 900 club guys are going to look down on Huggins when he joins, specifically aiming at his 71 wins at Walsh College. Because that's at the NAIA level. Those count as wins. I'm not saying they don't count. I'm just saying the guys in the 900 Club are not going to respect Huggins' Walsh wins. And maybe not Jim Calhoun. I didn't know this until I looked on the internet tonight. Jim Calhoun, and something funky happened at the end of the UConn run, he's coaching at Division III right now. My man Jim Calhoun still coaching. Doing well, apparently. But anyways, Huggins, as you know, very exclusive club. I'd name the list. It's a small list. Yet the man's still not in the Basketball Hall of Fame. I'm guessing it's because he doesn't have a chip, as the kids would put it, or as Drake would put it. He doesn't have a chip. You know, everybody wants their chips with the dip. YouTube... Drake reacting to the Toronto Raptors winning the NBA championship. It's really something. He played zero basketball. And I can imagine as a fan how I will feel if West Virginia ever wins a national championship. But just Google that. It's really something. Huggy does not have a chip. He's got two Final Fours. He's got that Kenyon Martin team that was on the way to doing really well and possibly making a Final Four, winning a national championship. You look at the numbers, his winning percentage is in line with most of the guys in the 900 Club If they hit him with the, hey, you got 71 wins at Walsh College, he can come back and say, hey, listen, I won 7 out of every 10 games like you did. And that would work for most of the guys in the 900 club. Huggins is going to get in the Hall of Fame someday. I truly believe that. I don't lose sleep at night worrying about that. Because guess what? If he doesn't, West Virginia knows about another kind of chip, right? A chip we're very comfortable with. And that's the old, and Huggins is comfortable with this, the old chip on the shoulder, not the championship and the chip with the dip, the chip on the shoulder. And if I know my state, I know if he doesn't get in, we'll wear that chip with pride. I didn't do anything when Huggy won 800 wins, 700 wins. I think he hit those two milestones with West Virginia. How should we celebrate 900 wins? I mean, you can't put 900 candles on a cake. 900 hugs? That's probably not good in a pandemic. What about eating 900 gummy bears? That's probably aggressive. That's an obscene amount of gummy bears. Maybe, you know, Huggins thinking about his post-game press conferences, 900 swigs of water. That may be attainable. I don't know. That may be too much water. 900 coughs. It is a staple of the Bob Huggins press conference is the throat-clearing cough, especially as the season progresses, and definitely in the middle of the season, December, January, cold season, the cough is coming out. I'm spitballing that. Give me your suggestion. What should I do 900 of to celebrate 900 wins? 900 steps? That's a big deal. Number one, for whatever reason, it's a round number, and you make big deals about stats with round numbers. But it's rare, exclusive company. And I am excited to... And Huggins, you know, he'll do like a tip of the hat or a wave. He's not going to make a big deal about it. We should make a big deal about it because it's really special. Final thoughts coming up. Unreasonable Doubt is on the social media. On Instagram, at UnreasonableDoubtWV. On Twitter, at I'm Josh Witt. On Facebook, go to that search bar thing and type in Unreasonable Doubt. Do it. Interact with the show. Final thoughts for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. We're here, the season finale. The season has moved quick. Saturday, March 6th, 4 p.m., ESPN2, in the Coliseum versus Oklahoma State. We all have fond memories about the first Oklahoma State game. West Virginia came back from 18 down in Stillwater to beat Oklahoma State in January. Cut to now, Oklahoma State, they've won 5 of their last 6. Likely has been out. One of the Boone twins has been great here lately. They got this freshman. Maybe you've heard of him. ESPN doesn't talk about him a lot. Cade Cunningham, super tall guard. Seems like he can score pretty consistently. He had 24 tonight in a loss against Baylor. He had 40 over the weekend against Oklahoma in a overtime win. Speaking of overtime, Oklahoma State 4-0 this season in overtime games. West Virginia 0-2. I'm not saying this game's going to overtime. What I am saying is it was a close game in Stillwater. Most of the games have been same games. So based on that, I'm going to play the odds and say that this game's going to be close. And somebody's going to talk about Cade Cunningham, okay? Be prepared for that. Be mentally prepared for Cade Cunningham talk. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms, or just pick one: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcast, Pandora, Amazon Music, CastBox. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Hit the subscribe button. If you like the podcast, that'll help you get the podcast. If you don't like the podcast, still do it. It helps me, and it helps this podcast. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt. This has been Unreasonable Doubt, WVU, for the 2020-2021 season. 18 wins, 7 losses.